start off by saying thank you. Thank you to each of you. You are our first and foremost our top evangelists. You're out there, you're advocates for our platform, you're developing on our platform, you're helping Microsoft ultimately to be successful. So I just want to start by thanking each of you. As Chris said, over the next few minutes or so, I'm going to be talking about just some of the things that Microsoft's doing. I'm going to be much more high level than, for example, Jonathan over there would be as a developer evangelist that goes very deep. So I'm going to talk more kind of some directional things that we're doing. And really what I want to land is the opportunity that Microsoft is presenting developers. We've been successful as a company because of developers adopting our platform, lighting it up, right? Because you think about, we really create a lot of the plumbing, if you will, within our operating systems and within our solutions. And then you as developers, you're the new artisans, if you will, that will build on top of that and light up the platform and ultimately help our mutual customers, some of you are customers, some of you are working for customers, but really help our customers to be successful. So I'll talk about the opportunity. I think it's a very exciting time for us in the industry, and hopefully as we go through, you'll agree with me. So let's start off by talking about, kind of what really drives Microsoft as a company. What are we focused on? Many of you would have heard probably about a year and a half ago, we talked about us all being on the cloud and all in. All in was a big thing. Everything that we do on Microsoft was centered on the cloud. It was this new disruptive technology that certainly we're behind. We're fueling in a lot of cases, but certainly we're seeing a trend moving forward. So it's really around devices. As we think of how we've evolved, I remember when I first started my career and seeing the first laptop, when I first started, and I think it was probably this thick, this high off the ground. You needed pretty much two hands to pick it up. Compared to where we've gone now with smartphones. And so devices, the proliferation of devices is just happening. Everything is becoming a device. So it's not just your traditional PC, your laptop, your slate, your smartphone. Devices, we see everything becoming smart. I just bought a TV recently, a Samsung TV, and I had this thing called Smart Hub. And what it does, essentially you plug it in, connect it to the network, gives you a network, an IP address, and you can do things like browse the internet, watch Netflix, etc. On it. So you got a smart TV. It's a TV very much like the phone that is a smartphone. TVs are becoming smart. There's some work that we've done with Ford and Toyota to really help them to leverage the cloud as a back end. And within the car, there's essentially, it becomes a smart car, if you will, that has a computer on board, that's able to, that's talking to the cloud, that could do things like monitor when your next gas change, your next oil changes, monitor your tire pressures. You can adjust all the engines, engine components or air conditioning, heating, et cetera, as required. And so when you think about where we're going, devices are just proliferating everywhere. And we want to make sure that we are supporting that. We're providing the software that powers and enables those devices, which then gives you opportunities to be able to build on top of those devices. And of course, we're anchored in software. So we see a world of multiple devices across a whole bunch of different form factors running kind of Microsoft software and powered by cloud services with a cloud backend. Devices today are connected to the cloud. If you're developing and you're not leveraging some kind of cloud service or consuming in some way, shape, or form or developing, it's probably not the way of the future. You want to think about a modern application is one that leverages the cloud. It gives that experience across any device, anywhere, wherever you're connected. So that's kind of what really drives us. Now, Microsoft is a company, we do a lot. If you look at the business, this is probably the eight things that we do as a business. Our breadth of products range across the consumer all the way to the enterprise customer. There's a whole conversation that's happening now. If you look at a lot of our competitors, in a lot of cases, they do one thing and they do it very well. They're good at consumers, but they're not good at the enterprise. They're good at the enterprise, but not good at consumers. Our vision is really to provide software and take the magic of software out to the masses, out to everyone, enable people and businesses to realize their potential. And the way we do that is by getting involved with a breadth of different technologies across different segments. You know, so you know very well about the Windows and, you know, kind of our Windows operating systems and the work that we've done there. It's an exciting time. You know, there's a release coming up. I can't talk much about it. I gave Chris a heads up. It's still in developer preview. This presentation I'm actually using, this is actually a Windows device. I have gone to the point where my primary machine is a Windows 8 device. So I run, this is what I run day in, day out. I use this as my machine. It's developer preview, but it's stable enough to run all my business applications. I use it every day, and it's beautiful, and it's only developer preview. Because of that, I can't actually talk much about it. It's still owned today by the product teams, the Windows product teams. And you know, coming very soon, we'll, as an evangelism organization, we'll be given the go-do to kind of go out and make sure, help all of you to get ready on Windows 8. We're excited about it. We see a lot of excitement that's coming out of a whole bunch of different developers, IT pros, analysts. You know, it's an exciting time. And so, you know, if you haven't started yet, there's all kinds of documentation information available. Go to dev.windows.com, the development center. There's a build conference that we had last year. That there's all kinds of keynotes and presentations that you may want to start consuming to start get up to speed on that. So that's an exciting time for us. And let me just go back to our presentation here. And I'm just running this on my, probably it's a two-year-old machine, a Dell machine that I had, that I'm running it on. So that's Windows. You know Windows very well. We are also in the business of search, right? So how many folks use Bing as a search? Okay, good. Thank you. That's probably consistent with our market share, as you can see. But certainly we've invested heavily in Bing. We're making some good share gains, primarily in the U.S. market. Not as much here in Canada yet. You know, that's a market that we really focus on investing heavily in. You know, we're rivaling in a lot of cases our competitor Google. I mean, Google, they've dominated this market for a while. They are certainly making a lot of money from it, which then allows them to compete with us. You know, it's a word that's used. Everyone, hey, just go Google that. And every time I hear it, it's tough for me as a Microsoft employee, as a very competitive person, to hear that. But, you know, we're making some great gains with Bing. We're signing some great agreements, whether it's a Facebook agreement that we've signed that, you know, is trying to integrate or search more with, you know, what your friends are doing, kind of the social aspect, to give you a better, more personalized search. So great progress we've made, we're making there year over year, and you know, certainly a strategic future for us as a company. The phone, you know, we launched a phone just over a year ago, and you know, we're going to talk a bit more about that. But that's an area again that we see as a key part of our three screens and a cloud vision. And when I talk about three screens, it's across the PC, the phone, and the TV. Productivity. Yeah, you know our products around our Office suite of products. Some great work that we've done there. A lot of you have built and extended that from a developer perspective. We'll continue to focus on giving the productivity of the future, again, leveraging the cloud with everything that we're doing. Gaming and entertainment. Very exciting for us. You probably recall last year we released Kinect, which was just you know, one of the most revolutionary pieces of technology that has come out to the consumer in the last while. In fact, it broke, many would know that it broke the Guinness World Record for the fastest selling consumer device that's out there. You know, you think of, you know, iPhones done very well, even compared to the iPhone within the first while in terms of number of units sold, you know, we broke that record. So, you know, very great piece of technology. We're going to talk about that later on. Skype, you'd heard about the acquisition of Skype that we did recently. And that is really to continue to improve not only the consumer focus that we have, but build out our ability to communicate, because we know people want to communicate. People want to be in touch. And so that will round out kind of our communication and collaboration solution. Dynamics is a business that we're in. We've got our CRM products. We've got our ERP systems. And we sell to a wide range of customers in Dynamics. And of course, our server tools and cloud, which is really a separate business also that we have, that the servers that you create on, the cloud infrastructure that you leverage, that you build on, Azure, et cetera, and of course, your favorite developer tools. is a part of that. So as you look at the range of what we do, you know, we pretty much touch all segments. We go across the range of technology of what we do. We continue to invest here. And, you know, it's certainly a platform that you can continue to feel very good about as we move forward. So let's talk. Let's go down. Remember, the first slide I talked about was devices, software, and services, really the cloud. Let's talk a little about devices. What's happening in the device world? You know, over the last couple of years, we've seen certainly Apple and Android made some good strides as it relates to new devices, right? Whether it's iPhone, Android phones, iPad, Android tablets that are coming out. The key point as it relates to the Microsoft platform, though, is that we still today have unprecedented reach. So if you think of the number of Windows devices that are shipping on a, you know, in the last year and a half, about 500 million Windows devices. You look at the number of Android devices, 247 million, iOS 152. You add those together, it's still not equivalent to the number of Windows devices. And developers, when you think about the opportunity, you think about whatever you're creating, are there devices that this is going to run on? The Windows environment, despite the fact that, yes, today we don't really have a good consumer slate yet, that's coming soon, our competitors are shipping some devices, our phones, it's early days. When you think of Windows all up, we're still surpassing both our competitors together. And this is just the start. So you think about the 1.3 billion PCs across the world that are running Windows. That's an opportunity for us to develop on. As you think about that opportunity, we shouldn't just think about Canada. We got to think global. With the availability of global marketplaces, of global ways to reach customers, you know, many of you probably, you know, play with Angry Birds. Angry Birds. Who, you know, what country is the developers for Angry Birds from? I think it's Finland or something like that. Some country. It's somewhere out there, right? You know, but everyone uses it, and it doesn't matter where you're from. So the world is really becoming global with a lot of these different marketplaces that are there. You think about from a device perspective, there's a whole bunch of different devices. I got this little graphic here that I like that just talks through from the traditional desktop PC all the way through different form factors, convertibles, tablets. You know, whether it's the, you know, I love this one. I still use this. Again, it's old, but I can convert it to a tablet. I go to a meeting. I take notes on that meeting. Whether it's the slate devices that we have today, it's a range of form factors that we're going to support. But this second point, right, this third point here that talks about Intel and ARM chipset that we support. At last year, we made an announcement that was pretty radical for Microsoft as a company because we were very much tied to the Intel chipset. And pretty much our operating system only ran on Intel. And we made a decision that, you know, we wanted to also provide support for ARM. What does that mean? That means as you think about that number of devices that we have, that's going to radically change. You have different form factors that you can get. You could get ARM devices that are much smaller that have the same computing power and have the same features as you would with an Intel PC. And so that's huge from the perspective of devices and continuing the growth of that across the world. And of course, you know very well about unified development environment. You know, you develop once, the ideal picture being you develop that once using Visual Studio. You're able to deploy that across all the three screens, whether it's a TV, through the Xbox, through the phone, or through the PC. And of course, unparalleled support for enterprise security. How many have heard the terminology consumerization of IT? Okay, so it's this phenomenon that's happening right now where if you think of consumers, go back to when I first started my career, it was really you wanted email, you had to go into work to get email. That's, you know, email started there. We didn't have Hotmail back then. We didn't have all these different services. So you went to work to get email. And so the IT really were dictating what happened in terms of technology. What's happening now is that as you know, consumers are out there, everyone's a consumer, and all these devices, these consumer devices are available. So people go out and they'll buy the latest iPad or the latest iPhone or the latest Android device. They like the experience, they like using it, they like all their apps. People using social networking, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, etc. And so what happens is that these consumers are coming into IT, into companies, and saying, hey, I want the same experience that I'm getting at home in the workplace. And so they're putting a lot of pressure on IT, hence the word consumerization of IT. Consumers are dictating what happens in IT. Why is that important? It's very important for us because companies are now coming to Microsoft and say, how can you help us with that consumerization of IT? How can you secure that iPad that someone's gone out and bought and they like it that much, they take it into the companies, and there's sensitive data that's sitting on it, there's no security, there's no way to manage it, et cetera. That gets lost, that's data in the company, potentially competitive data that's out there. And so, you know, we're investing very heavily in helping to manage that, but unparalleled is the security that you get within Windows devices. We've got the tools already there, security built in, to be able to manage as it relates to commercial organizations. Okay, so the bottom line here, what we're saying is from a device perspective, there's huge opportunity. We're already leading. It may not feel that way when, you know, kind of the new shiny object is the tablet and phone devices that are selling. And we feel, oh, Windows is, you know, we can discard Windows. We're way ahead right now, and we're just going to keep going with new versions of Windows that we'll come out with a focus on ARM and ARM chipset that we'll provide, and just with all the work that we're doing around the cloud, driving these devices, opportunities is great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the phone. And Chris gave me a heads up that this was certainly a point of interest here. So just over a year ago, we released our phone. It's a beautiful phone. How many have actually tried the phone, have played with it? It's good. Here's a stat. Actually, I have it there. There's some studies that was done across the world that you know, folks who actually did buy the phone really liked it. And in fact, 93% satisfaction was there that they would actually recommend it to someone else. It's a beautiful phone. It's got pretty much, it's modern, it's exciting, it integrates very well into you know, Office, if you're an Office user, if you're a gamer, for example. It's got an Xbox tile, if you will, that allows you to play some of your Xbox games, you know, keep all your leaderboard information, etc. It's modern, it's contemporary, it's really cool, it's slick. I love it. But let's be honest, you know, Chris gave me the feedback, it's early days. Let's go back to some of our competitors and think about what happened. You know, the traction that Android got, certainly we're seeing a lot of Android devices selling today, it took them a while before they really saw traction. It's a very complex ecosystem, the whole mobile ecosystem, working with the mobile operators and OEMs and, you know, the hardware manufacturers and the vendors, the software vendors. It's very complex and does take some time to move things forward. You also have the notion of individuals maybe locked into contracts, et cetera. So it does take some time before that market start moving. But one of the things that you could look at, you could look at what some of the analysts are saying, some of the folks who watch this on a day-to-day basis. And so early on, we had both IDC and Gartner, not sanctioned by Microsoft, but from their own you know, kind of analysis. They looked at where things were. They looked at the ecosystem, looked at what the product would deliver, et cetera. They're forecasting by 2015, we're going to be number two cell phone, smartphone in the world. Number two behind who? Let me get here some guesses. Who do you guess is going to be number one? Android. Was that here?
Android.
iPhone, Android, the split. Actually, number two behind Android is kind of what both of them said that will happen. Right, so you can see here that you know, certainly analysts, and in fact today, by the way, for those who've been watching CES, it's certainly making the rounds at CES. There's some good press coverage and articles coming out of it. And in fact, I think it was Morgan Stanley today that talked about the fact that they expect next year Nokia in North America to ship, I believe, 37 million just Nokia phones. Because, you know, Nokia is really, we've made a strategic agreement with Nokia. Part of the reason why they see the success is, you know, we made a very, very, in my opinion, a very smart move, which is to, you know, go out and look at, you know, who are the individuals out there that really understand the phone business, that have a good ecosystem, that understand the hardware side. You know, we're on the software side, you know, not the experts today, if you will, on a hardware. And so we went out and we looked at everyone there, and the agreement was, hey, let's strike a strategic partner with Nokia. they were in the market for a good operating system that they would look at their phone, that they could get on their phones. And you know, they're shipping in terms of number of units being shipped across the world. They've got significant market share. And so what we did was partnered with them an agreement that would then have us with their smartphones moving forward shipping here. I can officially say, based on the announcements that was made at CES just a couple of days ago, that the phones are coming to North America, and in fact, they will be in Canada. I believe it's a Lumia 710 and the Lumia 810. The two versions that will be here in Canada starting in February. It was actually on the Nokia website, a press a release that they did. So the phones are coming here to North America. It was launched in Europe. And it's doing very well. I talked to my counterparts there, and it's very hard to get one of those phones, to find them. They're selling so fast there. So, you know, that's a key part of why we feel very confident about the phone doing well. You know, but there's some great things that are happening. There's the whole developer momentum that we talked about. You know, one of the things that we watch is future success of a platform is dependent on how many developers adopt it. And so we compare how we've done, again, compared to how Apple and iPhone and Android applications did when they were first released. And when we look at it, compare where we are right now, a year in, with 50,000 apps, if you compare apples to apples the same amount of time, we would have actually been beating both Android and iOS in terms of number of apps on our platform. So that, again, is a good indicator. So thanks to you as a .NET community, to take the time to invest in the platform and see that it will be ultimately successful. Got a whole bunch of developers, 55,000 developers that have registered to say, hey, I'm going to create an app. And then there's another 1.5 million so far across the world that have downloaded our tools, our free tools, that indicate that they want to create applications. So yes, early days, we don't have the 500,000 today apps, but you got to look at where we are. We're making great strides. And we certainly will get there. So yeah, new modern platform, some other things around it. It's a young app ecosystem. You know, when I talk to developers, a lot of times what I'll say is there's actually opportunity right now when you have a marketplace that doesn't have hundreds of thousands of apps. Because how many folks have written an Android or Apple app? It's good. Thank you very much. But if you write one today with 500,000 apps in that marketplace, it is very tough to get discovered, right? It's very hard for someone to find your app. With a young app ecosystem, you create an app, a much better chance of being discovered, someone finding it, download, you become that next Angry Bird individual that you get millions and millions of downloads and do very well. The other thing that we do is we have a very transparent and fair marketplace. So there's probably three schools of different app stores that are out there. One, and you can probably guess who they are, I won't say their names. One on this side is kind of the ones that is just pretty much open. You can put anything in that marketplace. You can put a virus in it, and it would probably pass. It's just very open. And on the other side, you got one that's very locked down. You have no idea what the application certification requirements are. You write your app, you throw it in this black box, you wait for a while, you can wait for weeks, you can wait for whatever, and then maybe you get a response, and it's like, no, it doesn't work. And no idea as to where it broke and why it broke, et cetera, et cetera. And then the approach that we've taken is kind of in the middle. You know, we very clearly lay out, here are the different requirements in terms of applications, certification that you have to go through for it to be able to pass. You submit your app. If it breaks, we'll then send it back to you, and we'll kind of give you some debugging information to say, here is where you should go look at. And so with that transparency, certainly developers are loving it. We've got a strong partner community. You think across the world, we've got 640,000 partners that are there supporting and are standing behind. And, of course, the whole notion of from code to market quickly. So we made a very strategic decision when the phone was first launched to leverage a platform that already existed. We had a lot of developers who already knew Silverlight. And we're betting that phone on the Silverlight platform that you can, essentially if you knew Silverlight before, very little RAM. Overnight, you potentially could become a phone developer overnight with some modifications. You have to learn things and all the controls that exist for the phone. But, we specifically did that, and we made them a free for those who want to consume. And of course, there's a whole bunch of resources and programs to help you whether it's my great organization, my great DPU organization that's out there evangelizing, that will come out and work with you and help you with different workshops on how to build a phone. You want architectural help. And in fact, many of you in the community have stepped up to really be champions on mobile development. And so, thank you for your help there too. We've got some other programs. We just started a Start Something campaign, which is join the developer movement. We'll talk a bit more about that later, which you get incentives. You write a phone app and you get put in a bucket to win some really cool and interesting prizes. And so there's a whole bunch of different things that we're doing to help you and continue to help you to create applications on the phone side. Xbox, so this is, when you think about development, a lot of people don't necessarily think about the Xbox as a development platform. Because in the past, we've had more kind of the big gaming companies that would have a lot of the big titles, and they would be the ones that create games. But there's two things I want to talk about here that may be of interest to you. Many of you may have heard. How many have heard about the latest Kinect announcement that was made at CES? Some of you heard. For the folks that didn't, Kinect is actually coming to the PC, to the Windows PC. It was about 15 or so years of research that we did to come up with the Kinect technology. And we knew when we started it. First, we started entertainment and gaming in the living room, but we knew that this technology was great, and there were a lot of different ways that you can use it. There's a video called Kinect Effect. If you haven't seen it, go Bing it, not Google, go Bing it, and you'll see some things that we're doing to really kind of really free the minds of developers to come up with creative new ways to leverage that technology. In an event at CES, we announced that Kinect is coming for Windows. It's going to be available to be purchased. And as developers, you're saying, wow, there's a great opportunity here. Because think of all the different things that you can do. I've seen with the early versions, the non-commercial available versions that ran on the Xbox, we had developers do things. I think one was someone who was visually impaired. They create a prototype and they developed some things that allowed someone to put a Kinect on top, and that person's visually impaired was able to walk and was able to sense where things are and be able to see what's happening, help to navigate. I've seen them use it also as a hack to do things like surgery. So being able to control a tube that's going to someone through gestures. And there's just so many things, so many applications that we haven't thought about yet. So this is a great opportunity with the Kinect for Windows SDK, a great opportunity for you as developers to start playing with that, think about the next application that you can create, and a lot of it's leveraging a lot of the skills that you already have as developers on our platform. And then the other thing there is the Xbox Live Arcade, which has, for those who have Xbox, we've got over 60 million. So you think about devices, again, more devices are out there. 60 million consoles. You have 35 million Xbox Live subscribers across the world that you could go out and create an application that certainly others will have access to. You drop into the marketplace, and it's there for you to you to use. So lots of great opportunities. The other thing that we're seeing, by the way, another trend just while I'm here, let's say you may be a developer that works in a commercial organization, a company. We're seeing a lot of developers now moonlighting, meaning at nighttime, because of all the accessibility to technology. They leverage their skills. Marketplaces are there. You can create apps. We see a lot of developers now are not just kind of doing it as a day job, but on their spare time, they're writing this phone app. They're writing this Slate app. They're writing Xbox apps, if you will. So you got to think of the opportunities there. There's only finite time, but if you got some great skills that you can leverage, good opportunity to do that on the Microsoft platform. So we're talking a lot about devices. Let's switch to the cloud. Let me just do a little gauge. In terms of cloud knowledge, how many folks here would have said that they've created an application, developed an application that is a cloud-based application? Just one? Okay, good. So it's worth talking about for a little bit then. So in terms of cloud, you think of, probably do some high-level background here. JR could get into some of the more details later on if you guys want. But when you think about the cloud, Microsoft looks at it from three perspectives. You can either have, I think when most people think about the cloud, they think about the public cloud. kind of data centers, if you will, that are hosted by a third party that's somewhere, you know, up in the sky there somewhere that you consume. And that's certainly one aspect of cloud, a public cloud, and we do have that across a range of different products. But there's also the private cloud. So some organizations will want to say, hey, I don't want to necessarily have you know, my data and my computing out at a partner or at another company. I want to build my own cloud. And in a lot of cases, those are larger organizations, if you will, that would want to invest in creating that their own infrastructure, hardware, very similar hardware. They would have all the different patterns and practices, and we would provide them with all the guidance, if you will, to leverage our products to create that cloud, that private cloud. And a lot of it, if you're a technologist, so you think about things like System Center, Hyper-V or virtualization, or Active Directory pieces, Windows Server, you know, put together to create that environment, a private cloud. So we certainly provide that for customers that want to. And of course, we've got the hybrid environment. You know, where someone may want to leverage pieces of your application that sitting out in the public cloud, other pieces that sit in the private cloud, and we have that hybrid. One of the reasons I point that out in terms of how we think about it, because, you know, pretty much a lot of our competitors today are saying, you know, they've got a cloud solution. Microsoft is really the only one that makes the cloud work on your business terms. So you have the ability to have a private cloud, a public cloud, or a hybrid. In a lot of cases, our competitors, either public or private, they can't do both. The other piece there is you think about the existing investments that you have. Especially talking to a developer audience, it's the same common developer platform that you use. So you could become, you are already a cloud developer. You get your Visual Studio, your great IDE, and you want to create that application. A lot of great ways to say, hey, when you get to the point that you want to deploy, do you want to deploy that up to the cloud into Windows Azure, or do you want it to deploy it your traditional way? Right, so you get to reuse a lot of the experience and expertise that you have today from a developer perspective. It is an entity and infrastructure. So if you're developing for your company, for another company, you know, you don't have to worry about, man, how am I going to, you know, when that person logs in and they go to the cloud, you know, what's that identity that you have to use, et cetera? That federation is there. It is about unified management. So the same tool set, you know, with the IT folks that you work with that would manage that infrastructure, they use the same tool set that they use in the cloud as they would on-premise. And of course, you know, all your different data center resources, virtual servers, et cetera, you have, it's very easy to manage those. So it's really about Microsoft Cloud, you know, kind of makes it work for you on your business terms, and you leverage your existing investments. You look across all our product suite, and this is just to show you the breadth of the investment. When we talk about all in with the cloud, the investment that we've made. So you know all our products that exist all the way from our office, productivity, through to communications, exchange, collaboration, SharePoint, business apps, the dynamics, our desktop management, System Center, identity with Active Directory, database, all the way through Windows Server. You'll notice up top, there is a cloud equivalent for each of those. Huge investment we're making to provide very similar experiences across, whether it's software or services, going back to that first slide that I talked about. And devices will be able to consume pretty much that. So we've got a comprehensive, the most comprehensive range of cloud services today and a great vision in the future. And we've been doing this for a while. So not only do we have a commercial cloud services, we also have a consumer cloud services, cloud service. When you think about Bing, that's a cloud service. You think about Hotmail, another cloud service. You know, you think about Xbox Live, another cloud service. So from a consumer perspective, commercial, lots of different cloud services. We're truly all in with driving that forward. But I want to dig deeper into probably the area that you're going to spend most time with. And when you think about the platform for developers, it is the Windows Azure platform. Let me do a quick little test. How many folks know about the Windows Azure platform? Okay, so probably 40%. So there's an opportunity then to kind of talk through it a bit. So Windows Azure, what is it? It essentially is, you know, think about it as in that public data center that we talked about, that public cloud. Think of it as, you know, the infrastructure, if you will, that all your development, the artistry, and all the great work that you'll create, where that will run. So there's a number of different services, compute services. So it's provided for you in the cloud instead of having to work with your local IT team to create that, to have that server infrastructure ready for you to do the, to do all the computation that you need for your application. That's running in the cloud. It's storage, so you need storage for your application, where you know where your files are going to live, etc. It provides that storage. It's connectivity, so your users that are going to use your applications need to connect into the cloud. That's available in the infrastructure that's in Azure. It's identity. How do you log in? How does it know who you are, etc. The identity services are provided. Of course, a bunch of different features in there to help with performance. And we also have Marketplace. It is, there's an Azure Marketplace that's available that, again, if you've got some an application that's a cloud-based application, we want to help you to market that to the world. Again, this is global, that everyone can see that. So if you've got your application, it's up there. People go and find it. They can consume it. And going back to the left piece right there, it's very simple. It's your local development environment that you know and love today in Visual Studio that you use. And all a bunch of different SDKs. In this case, it's Azure SDK. There's an SDK that you get. They can get access to be able to create for the cloud. So for the folks who put their hands up, look at those folks. You can have a chat with them in terms of the experience and what it's like to play with Azure. But certainly we would be more than happy in the future to come back out and do a session with you and go really deep, get an evangelist like JR to talk to you about some of the things, some of the details about how to better leverage that. So why is it important? Why do you want to leverage this platform? A few things. You know, today, instead of worrying about the hardware and managing the hardware, you know, as developers, you want to spend time on your code. You don't want to worry about servers and updating the servers and patching it, et cetera. You don't want to worry about deploying applications. You know, you want that provision for you taken care of. Again, we do that for you in, with Windows Azure behind the scenes, so you spend more time coding. The ability to be able to scale, right? So, you know, as you think of so many scenarios that you will have where an application may need to scale very quickly. You have to go talk to your IT folks to say, hey, how do you do load balancing, performance, capacity testing? You don't have to worry about that with Windows Azure. It's automatically taken care of for you. You can scale up and down. It's about ensuring your application is always available. The availability is there in those farms. And then, of course, isolation is very important. It doesn't mean that because you're in a shared environment, it's still your environment, it's your servers that you're using, you don't have to worry about sharing that with anyone. This, to me, is a kicker. For the folks that you know think that this is not an open platform and this is just a Microsoft platform, absolutely not. You can see there we support PHP, Java, Python, Ruby, Eclipse, etc. You know, it truly is an open platform that irrespective of what you're developing today, you could run that application on Windows Azure. Okay, so this is some high-level benefits of Windows Azure platform. And let me just talk about some of the quick scenarios that we've seen so far that are really taking off. So, you know, Windows 8, you know, certainly it's a great opportunity to scale out and power your Windows 8 application that I'm sure many of you will be writing in the future. It's about a mobile app. So we see, you know, there's no such thing that we're seeing today as a mobile app that's a standalone app. Pretty much every, most mobile apps, if not all, have some kind of cloud services that they're consuming or leveraging. And so with mobile scenarios, certainly applications are leveraging Windows Azure. It's around social games. Again, a great platform there for that. High-performance computing, if you get into, you know, all the computation that's required for high-performance computing, our cloud service has that. Websites, again, it's ability to leverage it when you're creating websites to use Azure. It's about social applications with everyone creating social apps these days. We're seeing startups just loving Azure. You know, you think about a startup, you know, small organization, don't have the capital to necessarily go out and invest in server infrastructure. It's a great opportunity to leverage something that's already there. They're just as competitive as they would with a large company that's creating the same application. And of course, you know, for SharePoint developers, I heard when I came in the conversation around SharePoint, you know, as you build out, you could leverage that infrastructure as you build applications on top of SharePoint. So those are some of the quick scenarios. So I just want to kind of summarize the cloud benefits, why you as developers should think about it, or why you should suggest that to you know, your organization that you work for, the companies that you work with. One, it's around, again, we talked about it, focusing on application development versus an innovation that you bring to your code versus infrastructure. It's the agility to respond to market very quickly to get something up and running and not having the blocker of, you know, where am I going to get the hardware from, who's going to provision it, who's going to set it up, et cetera. It's about elasticity, to be able to scale up as required and scale down, because you don't always need to scale up. Sometimes you want to go down. It's a choice that we provide. You don't have to be in the cloud. You can be on the premise if you want. It's a global reach. So here's an example. The way the data centers are structured across the world, if you say you're creating an application that it's going to be in Europe, for example, you want to be able to deploy that. When you go to deploy your application, you have an ability to select which data center. So if your application is primarily dealing with your customers in Europe, you specify, hey, I want this data center that's in Dublin, for example, that would give them better reach. It's about service management. It's an SLA. So we do have four nines of SLA available for our customers. It's about openness. We talk about all different tool languages and devices also that it supports. So the other thing that we talk about with the cloud, you know, if I'm glad that no one's creating for Android and for Apple, but if you were, you know, certainly we're saying that doesn't matter what your device is, our cloud loves all devices, and you can leverage that as a back end. It's about efficiency. So you only pay for what you use. That's a cool thing, right? So you don't. It's all a computation or storage or database or connectivity. You know, and we've got tools and calculators that allow you to anticipate or estimate what it would cost to use that. And it's also trust. It's highly available, it's reliable, it's secure. Secure is important. If you look at the security that we actually have on our cloud platforms, Windows, Azure, et cetera, Office 365, the amount that we've invested to get the certifications that we have, the average company can't afford to have that level of security. So it's very secure as a platform. I know initially when cloud came out, a lot of people pushed back, is it secure enough? I think we've been able to demonstrate that certainly it is. So those are just some of the quick benefits there that you can take advantage of. So as I wrap up about 45 minutes, so I got about 15, and I want to get some good questions in. Let me just talk about the Microsoft developer opportunity. I think hopefully you're starting to formulate what those are for you. So first of all, when you think about the number of devices, you create an application, it sits on a device, that device sells, you make money. That's the principle. There's a huge opportunity to monetize your applications on the Windows devices, whether it's the PC, the phone, the slate, or Xbox. It's global visibility that we're providing now through marketplaces, right? Whether it's a phone marketplace that's there, or for those who didn't see, again, if you go to dev.windows.com, there's an opportunity to see some work that we talked about, the store, the Windows store that will be available in the future is by far the most lucrative from a developer perspective. Go see all the details there. It's about leveraging your existing skills, assets, and resources, right? So this is huge. When you think about the opportunity, you don't have to go learn a new language, a new development environment. Take advantage of what you already have to be able to move forward. It's the best of breed tooling and templates and all the guidance that we provide in our app hubs and to help you to create those applications. It's about cloud. I mean, when you think about the ability that cloud provides you to be able to get these applications, the experiences across all the different devices, it's about that development environment and experience across all the different screens, right? It is about the choice that you have between tools, languages, or on-premise. It's about programs that we have to help you. And the one thing that, you know, many of you probably don't know is that Microsoft actually invests $9 billion a year on investment in research and development. So things like Connect, the innovation that we're bringing to market, that we bring to market with all the products that we release every year, it's based on the $9 billion that we're investing in. You get to tap into that and go out to our mutual customers. There's one thing I just want to tell you about. I mentioned it before. It's an active campaign incentive that we have in place right now. It's called Join the Development Movement. Developermovement.com is the link. And essentially what it is, we're starting this off with a Windows Phone. So if you're interested in going out and leverage your skills to create an application, put in the marketplace and make yourself very famous, and potentially make some money doing it through the downloads, we have an ability, if you publish one quality app, you have a reward that you get the option of winning here across a Kinect, some points, headphones, etc. You create two quality apps, the stakes go up a bit, you get a phone potentially, a gift voucher, some more points. you get it, right? You publish three apps, you get more. And so we're starting that as a way to kind of rally and move things forward with phone. We're going to extend that out in the future to to different pieces, whether it's if you want to develop a Windows application, if you want to do a cloud application. This is going to be something that will be ongoing. We've got really good interest and early momentum behind this, and so we want you all to be a part of that developer movement. So that's really it I have for today. Simple call to action. The opportunity I talked about here today, I'd love for each of you to take advantage of that developer opportunity. The Microsoft platform does provide you that. Go out and build those apps for Windows Phone. We talked about Azure. Take advantage of those benefits. Get to know more about Azure. We'll be more than happy to come back out again and have that conversation with you. Start something. You heard about that. Stay in touch. I'm on Twitter, Gladstone Grant. Easy to find. So if you're on Twitter, stay in touch. A great way to stay in touch. Or gladstone.grant@microsoft.com. And thank you for your time.